Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week, where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Pleasant good day to Grenada Car Crew, Peter Moore, and those of you listening across the Caribbean and the world at large. I am Stanford Simon. It's a joy and a pleasure to be with you once again. Welcome to Inside Finance, where we talk about matters pertaining to the government and what is happening throughout the length and breadth of Grenada Car Crew and Peter Moore. Today, my guest in Inside Finance is Mr. Thaddeus Charles and Mr. Chiron Redhead. They were here sometime last year, and they were telling me I could just replay the same program, Property Tax, but there are some new things that happened that I want them to get away at all. I don't know what they're running from, but today I want to catch them. I want to make sure they answer the questions, some new questions I had to ask them, so and get away. So these gentlemen are here with me in the studio. We take a word from our sponsors. We come right back, and we continue a discussion here with Mr. Charles and Redhead from Property Tax.
Come with your dream to the Grenada Development Bank, and we will find a way to finance it. Whether you want to start a business or refinance an existing project, whether you want a mortgage for house or land, or a loan for a vehicle, or your educational advancement, we have a special to finance your energy conservation overhaul for your home or office. They all come with the lowest interest rates. At the GDB, the People of Grenada Bank, we encourage ideas and we finance dreams. Come into us because the future is yours. The Grenada Development Bank. Empower, transform.
Welcome back. I am Stanford Simon, as I indicated to you earlier, and my guest today is Mr. Thaddeus Charles and Mr. Chiron Redhead. Welcome, gentlemen, once again to Inside Finance.
Morning or good afternoon to which part of the world you are right now.
Right.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay. That's all right.
Good morning or good afternoon. Exactly. It depends on where you are at this point in time. And it's always a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, gentlemen. Thaddeus, how have you been doing, boy?
I'm good. A lot of number of different things taking place, but I'm good.
And you're making sure the government make some money?
Well, we have to. It's our responsibility because, you know, when we work hard, the people pay their taxes and by and large, you know, the teachers have to pay the hospitals, whatever you, it's the taxes to do it.
Yeah, but I heard all they're making so much of money these days that all they're owing nobody. Life is good.
Well, and there's always room for improvement.
Okay, so at least you're trying to improve.
Definitely.
So that's why you're here.
That's why we're here. So we want to inform the people, let the people know what their applications are, and we get a feedback so that we could improve the system.
Okay. Let me ask this question as we begin. How much land does the government own in Grenada, approximately? I know most of the land that says owned by private citizens. I remember years ago, Joan Purcell, when she was minister, made that statement in a forum that government only owned 2% of the land. 98% of the land is owned by citizens. Is that so, or that has changed?
Well, for me to give you a figure as what percentage is owned by government would be very difficult because I didn't research it at the moment. But what I can assure you is that the majority, and it has to be in the high 90s, of the land are fee simple. I mean, it's owned by private citizens. Yes, government have some plots here and there. You have the farm and state. You have people living on government lands. But that's a minority. So the majority of lands are owned by private citizens.
Okay, so and as you rightly said, it are in the 90s. So Grenadians are privileged. I think few countries in the world where you would find that, where most of the land is owned by the citizens of the country.
Yeah, because in the last, when I was in Malaysia, we were looking at it, and Grenada is one of the few countries whereby most of the property is owned by the citizens.
Very good. So, explain what is property tax and when it is due. Mr. Redhead, you the one that taking that?
Well, property tax is a tax levied by government on real property, right? Real property is land and building, land only, or building only, or any improvements on and on the land.
So, land only, building and land.
Right. And building only.
And building only. But to have building, you must have land.
Right. But you could have a building on somebody else's land. You don't must.
Oh.
Right.
Point taken. Okay. So you could be leasing.
Right.
The land.
Of right. course, yeah.
Right.
But so besides leasing, like people, okay, let's use government for example. There are people who have buildings on government lands. Okay, they build a building on government land, but the land is not theirs. The land is government owned, but the building is theirs.
So
as a result, they will pay property tax only
on the building.
On the building.
Because government owned the land.
Yes.
Okay, very interesting.
And you would have that for family plots too, you know. My mother or my father or my grandparents owned this lot, and the child decided to build a house on the land. The child will pay for the building alone.
The parents.
Parents would pay for the land.
For the land.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm glad you mentioned about the lease too, because if the lease is over 10 years and within that lease agreement, there is stipulation that the tenant has to pay for the property tax, then that tenant would have to pay property tax also. But it must be stipulated in the lease, and the lease must be over 10 years to be considered property.
Oh, the lease must be over 10 years.
Yeah, correct.
10 and under, the owner of the land has to pay.
Correct. Yes.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's a good thing to know. Now, what is... You were going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say something. The other part of the question is when it's due. Well, the tax, you pay your property tax as of the first working day of the year beginning in January. Right, so the first working day of the year, you can start to pay your taxes. Your tax can be paid in two folds. Based on your financial situation, the law allows you to pay 50% by the 31st of March and the remaining 50 by June 30th so that you can get your 5%.
Okay, let's go back to that again. Between January and March.
Right, March 31st.
31st.
Right.
You can pay 50% of your property tax.
Yes. Correct.
And then by the end of June, you need to pay the balance.
Correct. Right. In order for you to get that 5% which is offered.
Okay, so government offer 5%
rebate. Yes.
Rebate to persons who pay the tax before the end of June.
Right, correct.
All right, that means I need to go and pay my tax because I want to get some of that money back.
Right, and between June and August 29th, you just pay your assessed sum. Whatever the sum is assessed for, you pay that. There is no 5% rebate and there is no penalty. However, come August 29th, that's when you have your penalty will be kicked in. Okay, so August 29th, you have a penalty of
20%.
20%? Yes. Mm-hmm. And if it's not paid the following month, then you have interest. And you have an interest of 1.5% per month, part thereof.
So, you know, we all are better off paying our property tax early.
Exactly.
Of course, yes.
You get a 5% rebate.
Well, I would think so.
And yes. The rebate, I mean, if you like, decide to pay it like on two folds, the rebate is on the total sum. So you wouldn't be on the sum like, say, between 1st of...
January to 31st March.
Right.
It's when you pay...
On the total.
The final...
Payment.
50% at June or any time in June.
Then you get the whole 5%.
Then you get the whole 5%.
On the total amount.
All right, so your final payment going to bring the big reduction.
Correct.
Right. Not on the first payment you make.
No.
Okay. I didn't know that part too. That's good. So I need a number of persons to know that. So between now and the end of March, at the end of May, a lot of us should try and pay the first part.
Yeah, you should take the opportunity. I mean, it all depends based on your financial status. Some people will just come in and pay the whole amount.
Right.
But if you're in a situation whereby you want to pay the two installments, then you need to pay a portion by March 31st.
And then the next portion.
June 30th.
What is a demand notice? And how can property owners know how much they are paying on their property, especially if they own both land and building?
Well, the demand note is that instrument which the valuation unit send out to the tax owner, to the property owner.
Mm.
So if you own a property and you are assessed for taxes, government will send you a document. And that document is called a demand note. Now, on the demand note, there are all sorts of information. If you have arrears, it will be on the demand note as well.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you the assessed sum of the property, which is building or land, or land and building. And it also shows you the rate at which the tax is applied to the assessed sum. Okay, and it shows you the rate, and it also shows you how much it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so on that demand note, you'll have that all that information. On the demand note too, though, for instance, if you get a demand note, you might see the tax being $60, but you might see the rate showing you $30. Now, there is what we call a minimum tax of $60 for land and building. There's also a minimum tax for building alone, which is $40. And there is also a minimum tax for land alone, which is $40. I say this in the light that you may obtain your demand notice.
Mm.
And when you do the calculation, for instance, you have land alone, you may not add up to the $40. It might be less than $40. But because there is a cap, which we call a minimum tax of $40, you're going to see the demand note showing you $40.
Okay.
Likewise, for land and building, there is also that cap, which we call a minimum tax of $60. So when you do your calculation for land and building, when you have the demand note, you might see, but look, I do the calculation and I'm only getting $38. Why are they sending and tell me $60? That is because there is a minimum tax of $60. So you cannot pay nothing less than $60 for land and building. You cannot pay nothing less than $40 for building alone. And you cannot pay nothing less than $40 for land alone.
So it is capped at, despite how small your property may be, there is a cap.
Right, yes.
And for which then one has operating. So the minimum is $40. Mm-hmm. For land alone, for house alone, for house and land, or building and land, is $60.
Right.
Okay.
Right. I should just enlighten you, though. A taxpayer may receive his demand, and he might see his value is $95,000 for the building, and let's say $10,000 for the land. And his tax may be $60, which is the minimum. That's because he also gets what we call an exemption of $100,000 on the value for the building.
Exemption of
$100,000 on the value of the building. Okay? So as a result, you will have to pay only $60.
All right. So that means that if the value is $100,000, the person would only pay $60.
Yes.
So that again is capped. All right.
So, and speaking about the demand notice, we have sent out all the demand notices for the year 2018. So by right now, each person who owns a property should have received a demand notice.
And if you have not received it,
well, either there is a error in the address, so you need to come into the valuation division or the Inland Revenue Department, and we will rectify the address because you should have received it at this point in time. But let's suppose you didn't get it for any other reason. You could get a copy of that demand notice on a point of pain. So you just come into the department, you say what the name, give us your name, address, location of the property, and we'll give you a copy of that demand notice.
Okay.
Just to add to what Mr. Charles just said, yes, all persons that own property get a demand note, but some will not get because there is a classification under the law which says agriculture. And once you own property which is agriculture, you will not get a demand note because it is zero rated and you don't have to pay any taxes. So you, yes, you own property, but you will not get a demand note from the Inland Revenue.
So that's so that's why the 4 acres are owning a hope. That's why I'm not getting a demand notice, right?
All right, so you understand now?
No, understand.
But it must be classified as agriculture.
Well,
it's agriculture land. The whole I hope, that whole I hope land is agriculture. No, understand why. I used to wonder why I never asked, really. I just thought,
So I'm just clarifying. Yes, you own the property. But because it is classified as agriculture, you would not get a demand note from the Inland Revenue.
Okay, then it's zero rated.
Yes.
All right.
And going back to exemption is key with the 100,000, but it must be owner occupied and the property must be residential. And these are key things to take note of. The property, the building must be a residential building.
Mm-hmm.
It must be owner occupied and for 9 months of the year.
Calendar year.
Right.
And one person cannot get two exemptions. So, for example, I mean, a rich man like you, we're having two houses, you could only get one exemption. And I think people need to look at the demand notice. You know, it's a Sunday afternoon, you could look at it and see if you are getting the exemption. And if you're not, you could come into the department and you have to sign a form stating that you are living in the house for more than 9 months. And then we would give you a new bill. But bear in mind, it must be a residential building and it must be living there for 9 months. And you cannot get two exemptions.
Okay. Well, we have to move up because if we don't, we will be in trouble.
Just to clarify, on your demand note, to know if you're getting the exemption, on your demand note, where you see building, you read straight across and you're going to see in black bold something marked occupant. Once that is on the demand note, therefore you are receiving the 100,000 exemption on the building.
Okay. Yo, folks, you heard that? If you read right across on
the building.
On the building.
Right.
Right. All right. I'm speaking to Mr. Thaddeus and Mr. Chiron, Redhead. They're from the Land Division. Would you say?
Valuation division
of government, and we're talking land. Now, how do you go about classifying various property, and what are the factors considered? Because that's an issue. Or they just classify people property with all kind of value.
Classification of value is different.
Classification of value is different?
Yes.
Okay, so explain the board for us. Classification and value.
Well, classification, the Act gave us 10 different type of classifications, and it's basically based on the use. In determining the classification, we must take into consideration the use of the property, the location, and the size of the property, a number of factors, but the most important one is the use.
The use
must be up there, location. And we determine whether it is agriculture, residential, reserve, amenity,
hotel,
whatever the case may be. But the use must be is important.
So the use is what helps you to classify.
Mm-hmm.
So a residential building. Some of the time, all these residential building and them kind of costs, all these put in residential building. Who do this evaluation? Because sometimes all you get a man house is 1.5 million and the man house only worth a million. I put them up. It's 500,000, but a man house worth a million. So,
but you see, the value of the building is determined as of 2001 because the last valuation cycle or the last valuation list was gazetted since 2001. So our values is based as of 2001.
2001.
Yes. 2001.
So when will there be another one?
Well, we are in the process of doing a new valuation list.
So people like my secretary, Asha, that built a new house, she not on the valuation list
No,
yet.
She would be on the valuation list. When we go and value that house, we value it as of 2001. We wouldn't value it as current market value.
Oh, so Asha, you get away, girl. Your value will be less.
But going back to the value, though, but you will take a set of things. We'll do our inspection,
right.
The size of the building, again, the use, The quality of the building. There are a number of factors that would come
into play. The condition of the building.
That would determine what the value is.
So you all have people who go there and do that?
Yes.
Yeah, we are the field appraisers who go
there. So you're one of those. Right. Oh, yes, I remember seeing you in Montreal looking at the house and value.
But if by some chance you think that the value that we ascribe is too high, you have the right to an object. So you just come into the department. You fill it, do up an objection form, and an officer will go and take a second look.
Right, because that leads me to the next question. Can someone object on the classification of the valuation given on their property by the value unit? And you're saying yes.
Yes, you can. Once you are not with the value, then you come into the department, we will give you a form, you fill it out, and one of our officers will go back out and do another inspection.
So that's the process.
Yes.
The process, if I see the value, I'm unhappy with the value, I come into the office, I said, look, I have a problem with the value that you're giving me, whether it's low or high. Let me ask this question, low or high. So if you give me a value of property that is too low.
Very rare.
You would say that the value is too low. But I mean, it happened a couple of times, but I mean.
Because sometimes when people, you know, have to get mortgage or bail somebody, they will come and see, but this is a little too low. You need to do this a little higher because, you know, they have.
It's in their interest now that it be higher.
Yes,
but most
of
the times people come because they want to get their house value. And if they're the right value, they're okay with it. But if I want to get in the process is that I come in, I say, look, I have a problem, make an objection. Somebody else you would send out to do.
Yes, an inspection.
Must be mindful that you cannot object on the tax. A lot of people would come in and say, my tax is too high. We don't have no jurisdiction on lowering the tax. That is the minister. What we have rights over is the classification and the value.
Classification and value.
Yes. Yes.
That's the only two things they can come to you for.
Yes.
But
yes.
Tax is a different.
It's a different matter. Yeah. What about persons who are living on persons' land, right? And then they live there for a couple of years and then they want to go and say they own the land. How does that work? Somebody working somebody land, let's say for 5-10 years.
Yeah,
and the person is paying, not them, not the person who's working the land. The person owning the land is paying his taxes and whatever the case is, but this person wants to say that they own the land. I've seen situations like that. How do we deal with that?
Yeah, what happened, they used to do a document called a statutory declaration and claim it. But since then, government has passed the act, what we call the Possessory Title Act. And it's basically the same thing, but it's a little bit more
difficult
now, in the sense that you will have to go to this court, the Supreme Court. It will have to be published, gazetted. It has to be, so it's a lot difficult now.
So you wouldn't be able to get people property as easily as it used to be.
Right, right.
Because
you see, the law that was existing before said as long as you are on this property for more than 12 years without paying rent, you call undisturbed possession. So people used to do documents like that.
Oh, and then own people land.
Right.
All right. If I buy a piece of land today, I get possession of it. Let's say tax is due the end of July. Am I not responsible? The person who buying the land from is responsible.
Right.
The middle of the cycle.
Good question, though, because that's one of the things we see happens from time to time. What happens is that the law states that the person that owned the property as at the beginning of the year, January, is liable to pay the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
However, if the tax is not paid, Section 8, I think, of the Act says that the person now acquiring the land will then inherit the taxes.
If the person,
the new owner,
would have to pay the taxes.
Would have to pay it because taxes. They are the new owners.
Yes.
Right.
If the tax was not paid.
Right.
But a situation like that would only happen up to March 31st. because before March 31st, the Inland Revenue would accept or we would transfer the property without the taxes paid for the
current
year. But after March 31st, the person who is selling, the vendor, has to pay all the property tax. So the new owner, say in May, wouldn't face with that liability. They would have to pay for the following year, which is 2019.
The new owners?
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Because March 31st is the cutoff.
Right. Next question. If I buying piece of land, let's say land worth $100,000, how much I as the buyer have to pay to government, and how much does the person who owned the land has to pay to government?
Well, you as a buyer don't have to pay anything to the
government.
You don't
have to pay anything to the government.
No. It's the vendor.
The vendor, the person who currently owns the land, is selling the land.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. They will have to pay 5%, right? Less 20,000 on the remaining. So, for instance, you buy a property for 100,000, right? The first 20,000 are exempt.
Mm-hmm.
And you pay 5% on 80,000.
Oh, the first 20,000 are exempted.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The buyer would only pay if he's a foreigner.
Yeah.
Is it they already call the alien
land license.
So if he's not a Grenadian,
you'd have to pay 10% of the first 20,000 is exempted, and you pay 10% of the remaining.
Oh, okay. So I better off buying land as a Grenadian.
Yes.
Hi, gentlemen. I mean, I've exhausted the question I have. I don't know if any know that you all have.
Also, too, just so enlightened, property change hands not only by selling. You have what we call deed of gift. So if, for instance, you and I are brothers, and I have a piece of land, and I decide I'm going to give it to you, when it gets to the Inland Revenue, the first $150,000 is exempt, and you pay 5%. In excess. So if for instance, if you get land and building, and the total value of the land and building is, say, $175,000, then you'll only have to pay on $25,000, because the first $150,000 is exempt, and you pay 5% on the $25,000.
Oh, okay. And you give it as a deed of gift.
Yes.
But you only pay on 25%.
On 25,000.
On 25,000.
Yes.
Okay.
That is if the value of the property is, let's say, 175.
75,000.
Right, because the first 150,000 is exempt.
Not bad. So if people want to pass on land to their family, then they do not have to pay that amount of tax.
Right.
Yeah, because the exemption is very high. A point of note, this year, we know normally we do a caravan or we go right around the island. But we're taking it one notch higher this year.
You're flying around the island?
No. what we planning to do, or we have decided to do this, we'll go to each parish the last Friday, beginning from May 4th.
Okay.
So May 4th, St. David's would be the first parish. So if all the property owners in St. David's who want to come to St. George's and they have some issues, you could come to the revenue office on May 4th.
The revenue office in St. David's?
St. David's,
yes.
Okay.
And we'll have officers there who will be able to do everything that we do in St. George's, we'll be doing it in St. David's.
So you're going to the tongue of St. David?
So following St. David's, we'll go to St. Andrew's, St. Patrick's, we're coming up the western side.
Right.
St. Mark's, St. John's, and St. George's would be on June 9th.
Okay.
But we have 2 days for St. George's.
Because St. George's is big.
And also St. Andrew's. So they are 12th and 13th for St. Andrew's. And St. George's will be 8th and 9th of June.
Okay. Just a matter of note for my listeners, St. David is the only parish that doesn't have a tongue.
So May 4th, all the people in St. David's, come out to the numbers. Any queries you have, we'll listen to it. And what we could address there and then, we'll do it. And any other query, we'll follow it up in the field. We'll get back to you.
Okay. So, good gentlemen, we're out of time, but it's good talking with you as always. At least I learned a lot. I'm sure my listeners do. Mr. Thaddeus Charles and Mr. Karen Redhead, the two gentlemen who have... How long have you been there, Mr. Charles?
I think it's over 20 years.
20 years. Yeah. And
same.
20 years. Yeah. Man, you're cooking that system, bro.
Exactly. We have We are ready to pass the baton on. Yeah.
All right, maybe I should apply for work another
one. I think we should do the reverse. I would come and do what you do. So I'm challenging you on that.
That sound good enough. I mean, I need a sabbatical. So I might change. All right, folks, you heard it there from Mr. Thaddeus Charles and Mr. Kyron Redhead. They talked to us about property tax and dealing with the issue of paying your taxes and looking at your property. I do hope you make the time to go in and get that done. I am Stanford Simon. This has been a program, Inside Finance. You can go to the government website to get the program there, and you can also go to sgbcgrenada.com. The program will be uploaded there. I am Stanford Simon. Wishing you a very great, enjoyable, and fulfilling week. Join me here next week at the same time. We do it all up again with the Ministry of Finance talking about issues pertaining to the government. Have a enjoyable week. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.